we're back. This is Keep It. I'm Louis Fertel, and I have a thrilling announcement. We have a new co-host.
Hello.
The co-host, the host of Keep It, is Nina Parker.
I mean, these trials was longer than survival, weren't they?
It's been 12 years. We've been trying people out.
It took a little time.
Yes. And by the way, I just want to say I've had a real thrill talking to so many people sitting across me this past year. You know, I honestly could have rotated people forever and ever.
Sure.
Like, a lot of people know a lot about pop culture, but Nina Parker, you are the creme de la creme.
Well, thank you. I have to say the Keep It fan base is strong and long.
Okay. Right. Rabbit.
I've had people pull me aside at events.
Okay.
And be like, you need to get this job. I said, wait a minute, girl. Like,
who's this fairy godmother finding you?
I've had people pull me aside. All kinds of people, too. Like, all types of demographics that you would never expect. 60-year-old grandmothers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, young black women. The Keep It audience is long and strong and very diverse.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear
Are
that.
Are you glad to hear that?
Yeah, no. I usually get approached by only gay baristas. That's it. The barista community is listening.
Too. I've had that, too. But I have to say, out of all the, podcasts that I've guested on, this has been the one where I get, approached the most and with, visceral, please do this.
Okay, good.
We love you and Louis together.
Okay, good.
So
the urgency
it.
Is there for me,
yes.
too. I am so thrilled you are here. You also know everything. You are an entertainment veteran at this point.
Well, thank you.
So I'm thrilled to bandy any topic with you. Well, do you promise to keep the takes spicy and a little mean and maybe even sometimes funny?
Well, you might have to pull me back a little. I'm a little nervous about how far I can go.
Oh, right. We'll go there together.
Yes, we'll do it together. I love it. I think this is going to be a great little combination of spicy and spicier.
Okay, great. Those
are
the only two modes I have.
Depends on who's talking.
Right, precisely, precisely. Yes, so this episode, we're doing a lot of crazy things. We won't have any guests this episode. We're going to have a specific Keep It episode where we talk about our current Keep Its of the past, and then at the end, we'll talk about what we're looking forward to in the future. And just get to know each other, really.
Yes. I mean, this is a marriage.
Yes, right.
This is the lavender marriage I've always dreamed of.
Oh, my God. And lavender, I have to say, is my power color.
I can see you in that.
In the 2000s, if I walked into an Express for Men, I came out with a lavender collared shirt.
I've only seen you in black, ever.
Yeah.
That's why I wore black today.
Oh, yeah.
This was homage to you.
I also have no problem wearing black forever. So if we want to just keep this going and
it's very en vogue way. It's very Soho, I'm about to go shopping after this and get a coffee. I love it.
Okay. lots more coordination to come. But before we get into all that, we have a couple of pressing pop culture topics to get into.
Yeah, well, Taylor Swift is a married woman now.
Okay.
Yeah, so, listen, how do you feel?
I'm looking for reasons to find her interesting, and I keep coming up with, all right, at least she rented out Madison Square Garden.
She did.
And I guess, and put a castle in there?
There's been speculation on, what exactly, there was, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
They got married to MSG. There was an extravagant guest list of all kinds of celebrities. Interestingly enough, Jennifer Aniston did not accept her invite to go.
Mm.
So some of the big A-listers did not
That's
show up.
That's the smart water talking.
You know what was interesting to me is that the I saw somewhere that it said that some of the guests weren't able to thank her because they didn't have her phone number.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was interesting that you would be invited to a wedding where you don't have the bride's number.
Well, also, I mean, I'm confused by certain things. I saw that Tom Hanks and Paul McCartney arrived in the same Uber Black or something. That's what's happened. Taylor Swift is such a big star that the biggest movie actor of all time and the biggest music star of all time are carpooling.
The guest list was random, too. It was just Paul McCartney, and then there's Niecy Nash.
Yeah.
It's very all over the place, but it felt like I was reading the guest list for an award show.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that she was friends with all of these people.
Well, is she?
I don't.
It feel like there was more of a meeting to discuss?
It just
who would
felt like
be invited?
An event, which I guess your wedding should feel like an event. I imagine that they would do it on an island or out in the country, somewhere outdoors. I guess it was the security portion, maybe. I don't know.
Right. She had everybody to sign NDAs, but part of that was she really actually kept what happened at the wedding secretive. We don't know.
Right.
I'm somewhat surprised.
The AMC chair posted that Twitter of the events that have happened and since has been deleted, probably because he got whacked on the head.
Yeah.
Because why would you post that?
No, I still think of Taylor Swift as somebody who uses that girl squad she used to have to put hits out on people.
1,000%
I know, yes. Carly Kloss came to their house and slapped them with a gun.
Yeah. She invited.
Yeah.
You know, so interesting.
Yeah.
Who was not there, Blake Lively.
I am thinking about that. I wonder what the deal with that
is. Did you see the pictures of her on a farm in upstate New York?
No.
She looked disheveled.
Oh.
She looked destitute and destitute.
What a rare look for her.
She looked like, you know, listen, how we all look on vacation.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I am a firm believer of it, you cannot look cute on vacation. Okay, like,
excuse me, I was just in Fire Island and I looked like a levitating skull. Okay. Yes. I lost about 36 pounds.
You're very tan, though.
Nina, you can't start this podcast by lying.
No, you are tan.
I am pink. I am looking like the salmon you left out.
You're tan-ish. You're tan for you.
Okay, yes, thank you. Tan for you. Do you see the modification?
It looks like contour. Like it's very chic.
Okay, well, it better because I feel like I have 3 neurons left and I'm using them all on this conversation.
Do you tan?
No, not ever. Not one time. Nobody in my family does. I one time did a spray tan and I looked like Yul Brynner or something. It was like all wrong.
So you're like, this is just not for me. I accept my fate.
I am in the El Fanning community. Okay. I am meant to be snowy at best.
You glow in the dark a little.
I'm a little gossamer at best.
Okay.
Yes.
I accept that about you.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we think anything fabulous happened at this wedding? I guess Paul McCartney sang, "I Want to Hold Your Hand." Adam Sandler officiated.
I think that's weird.
Her taste is just, she is that basic girl. She likes to be the basic girl.
Yeah.
You know, not trying too hard to have fabulous or exotic taste. She's just, I like.
But why
this.
Adam Sandler, like, why not like a close member of your friend group or family member or a family member of Travis's? Like, why would Adam Sandler do this?
Yeah. Is it a joke centric officiating? What does she want?
I have to tell you, like, it feels the taste of it all feels like, did Travis plan this?
Yeah.
It feels
That's it.
Like, this feels like a straight man planned this.
Yeah.
Let's have it at MSG. Like, you know, like, in a, where you've performed before, I think. I don't know if she's ever performed there, but sure, she has to have.
Yes, certainly.
You know, she's, you know, lives in New York. This just feels like if you told your boyfriend, like, plan this thing. And he's like, sure. And I'll hire the hot dog man. And like, you know who's going to officiate this? Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And then let's invite, you know, the most random ass people.
Also, I never put it together that maybe he would have been just as involved in the creation of it. That does seem like him. Because, you know, I've listened to his podcast and he is, shall we say, a normal man.
Yeah. They're both of their tastes are, it's like, I don't look at Taylor Swift as someone who's bougie.
No.
Like, she's not like bougie chic. Like, she's down to earth. She's
no, her
relatable.
Whole thing is, I love a Target run.
Right.
You know?
Right. I know that they donated $26 million.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was just, which, you know, I'm confused, honestly.
Also,
I'm
the $26 million, because she's a billionaire, right?
Right.
So I guess I'm happy she donated that money, but I just end up thinking, tax the rich. I don't know. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, you know. I think we're really on the fence here, but yeah. Because I don't think Taylor Swift is a bad person. I don't have like bad things
no,
to say about her.
No, I don't think that either. No,
but
no.
I'm just not like overly excited about the way. I want it to be like really wowed by like something about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this feels like everybody went to a concert kind of.
Right, right.
Like, it feels like a concert invite that like when you go to a concert and you go to the VIP suites, there's all these random celebs there. Like, I randomly went to go see Harry Styles at MSG.
Oh, yeah.
And the suites had like, you know, random, just the most random people you would ever. We all came together for the show.
Right.
But I'd never hang out with these people in real life.
Oh, of course not.
You know?
No, also, I mean, just for the size and scale of this wedding, it's just crazy that neither of these people became more interesting to me. Like, literally, what Dua Lipa wore at her wedding,
I'm
thinking still more about that than this entire wedding.
Because that felt really intimate.
Yeah.
I kind of thought they'd do something like that, you know? Or they'd do something more along the lines of, like, Tom and Zendaya, where it was just, listen, this is what I'm saying. I know that Taylor had her people sign NDA, but, like, Tom and Zendaya were married and no one even knew there was a ceremony.
And you know that that is possible, that they could have pulled off something. something like that. It almost makes me think this was the first show wedding and they had some other wedding elsewhere.
Could have been.
You know?
That could have been.
You know.
Because I do think weddings should be parties. Like, yeah. There are some that are so formal and stiff where you're just kind of like, this should feel like the biggest party. Like, I've gone to weddings that were just, the ceremony was 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we just partied and ate the whole time.
Ain't
and that's
nothing wrong with
fun.
That. I officiated a wedding one time, and if there's no religion in the ceremony, it's just like, well, you two got anything to say to each other? Because I'm thirsty.
Right. I went to one and it wasn't religious. They read out of a childhood book. It was just like a children's book. They each read a passage and we all, you know, I think held hands and then that was it. And then yeah. We were partying for the next 8 hours.
No, that I understand.
There was an In-N-Out truck.
Right.
It was great.
Yeah, right. I love a food truck at a wedding.
Do you think like at MSG they have like the snack bar open?
There's got to be some component of that, right?
Right?
Because he cares about that shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because, you know? I mean, they do spend half their time in sports venues.
Yeah.
Half the year.
Huh. No, right. I guess that's just where they accidentally travel all the time.
So maybe this was like a little ode to him, even though, you know, it would have been more interesting if they got married to the football stadium, but.
Right.
Maybe.
Now, speaking of parties, are you familiar with up-and-coming Gen Z artist Madonna?
I've heard a little something about her.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Well, I've heard, I hear good things. She's on the up and up.
Yes. I have a problem where I can't stop bringing her up on this podcast or anywhere else in my life. But she just released this album, Confessions 2, which is the sequel to her much beloved album, Confessions on a Dance Floor from 2005. And it does feel like a successor to that album in that it's about the intimacy and hypnotism of the dance floor. She explores that vibe once again. But I am just shocked. This came out while I was on Fire Island, so I'm surrounded by 100 million gay men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, it's
I mean, this had to... I couldn't have written this better.
I know. No, and by the way, but here's the thing. Like, I kind of gatekeep Madonna. So, like,
you
to
do.
Be around people who, like, are sort of like... She doesn't have songs anymore, whatever.
Can I
can't
ask,
be around that. Yeah.
How do you gatekeep Madonna?
Well, it's just like there are so many layers of fandom to her, and I've been in it so long.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I wasn't in the mood to educate children, and I felt like I might compulsively have to do that from time to time.
No, you don't have to.
I know. And yet the rage takes
to?
Over. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I could imagine you overhearing a conversation you have to get into involved.
Oh, please. Oh, no. The amount of, I heard somebody say, they played her new album at midnight when it came out at this one particular club. And someone said, oh, why would they play the new Madonna album? Like, we could have been listening to house music. And I had to say, I was like, you know, we get house music all the time.
I love
my backhand rising in the air.
I love the idea of you policing everyone on Fire Island about Madonna.
Yeah, right. No. You know, I'm 39 years old. Like, I'm the age that should be policing it.
Do you love the album?
Yes. And I have to tell you, I thought we were sort of past the phase of me loving Madonna albums.
Okay.
Her past three albums are definitely experimental, but they are also very scattershot. There's lots of tracks that always don't work. It always feels overstuffed.
Right.
This album, Confessions 2, that she made with Stuart Price, the same producer from the original Confessions, is just the right balance of everything she is. Whereas she gets to be self-serious and preachy, which she loves.
Right.
She gets to worship the dance floor, but always, no matter how dogmatic or self-serious she gets, this producer is here to make sure it is streamlined into danceable, moody, cerebral music. And it is basically, to me, a flawless album and probably
really?
In her top five.
Wow.
And also, this is a universally well-received album.
I've been hearing good things.
Yes.
I've been on
Pitchfork loved it. Yeah, yeah.
People are talking about it. They're loving it. I listened to it. I mean, it all kind of sounds similar to me.
Yeah.
All the songs
It's a very
similar.
Unified album.
Yes, it's very like, you know, it's cohesive. It kind of is the same all the way through. But there's nothing that I hate it.
Yeah.
Know? But I'm not a big dance person.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the thing I love about it is the first single is called I Feel So Free, which is about like, you know, throw your inhibitions away on the dance floor. You know, you can disappear from your own life and be a new person. But that's kind of a head fake because Madonna so lives in her head and is so thinking what I love about the album is it's not about losing your head on the dance floor. You can actually intensify your emotions and think about how confounded you are by romance, how, you know, your past, your future, all in the midst of dancing, and she gets that headspace on record. So I find it to be extremely true to her, and there's no other way to put it. I am so fucking proud of her. It's such
she
a great album.
She should have you on the intro to the next album, honey, because you made me want to listen again with a second set of ears.
Yeah.
I was like, well, maybe I do love this.
it's just such a pleasure, and like there's a song, Danceteria, where she honors basically her beginnings, where she slipped her like demo tape to somebody, and it started getting played, and it started getting her traction in New York. Now, there's things about this track that sort of feed into her worst instincts. Like, she's always constantly name-dropping men she once knew. Like, yeah. You can't get through an interview with this woman without her bringing up Basquiat.
Though. I kind of like it.
Okay, I kind of do. But again, this producer... Say, I mean, no.
You wouldn't?
No, like, please. I'm more important than that. Please.
Please. If I ever, like, slept with Denzel, you're going to hear about it every week. I'm bringing up all the amazing men that I've dealt with. I don't care. Tupac? Like, she had a very wide range.
Oh, quite. You know? I mean, if I slept with Denzel, I would have albums called, like, I Slept with Denzel Again.
Yeah, exactly.
Volume 3.
I would be reminding everybody. But you know what I miss? I do love, like, when she used to do the interview circuit. Because
she was the best interview celebrity.
I was watching an old clip of her on Arsenio Hall.
Oh, with Rosie O'Donnell coming out too?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's so witty.
Yeah.
Like, I think because she has been so, you know, like, polarizing, people forget just how, like, genuinely fast. She's quick.
Yeah.
You know, and I miss, like, her kind of, you know, I feel like some of those celebs get into this icon status and we see them less and less, but they're just super regular too. And yeah. I really would love to see, I know, like, she's older and she just was like, I don't need to do this anymore. But man, I would love to see her do just a little press circuit, just a little one.
She had a couple of interviews, like, she did one with Interview Magazine recently, and she said she decried AI and called it the opposite of creativity, the opposite of risk taking. So it's like, she's still got some sound bites in there, but you're right. I mean,
like, that a sit down, like, you know, like,
yeah, she also did one with Graham Norton recently, but you're right, like, that used to, she used to be like the best for that. You would want her to be on David Letterman. You would,
I would
want
stay
her
up
to be
for
up,
that. Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, like, if I knew Madonna was going to be on, like, I would sneak and stay up and watch, you know, whatever she was going to be on, because it was just so fascinating to watch. Because honestly, like, as a kid, thought it was like scripted.
Oh, yeah,
she's so sharp.
I always think the reason gay men really identify with her is that, like, all gay men, I truly think this unites all of us, is she refuses to be bored.
Yeah.
Like, the way straight people want to, like, retreat into, like, you know, some suburb and just, like, be there and chill and have a dog. She is just the opposite of that. You know, she's like, what else? And who else is happening? And let me know about that.
Oh my gosh, maybe I'm a gay man.
Yeah, right. Oh, this can't be the first time you've considered that.
Because I went to Oakland the weekend before the 4th of July, and I was, you know, doing, like, a reunion with my cousins, and they're all married and they're, like, all with their kids, and it's so beautiful. And I just thought, oh, I love them. Like, I think I love this for them. But I'd be done.
No, I always think when I visit Palm Springs, like, I love the freedom and chillness of it. And then I realized if I were there for 4 weeks, like, I would be utterly transformed as a person, and my neurons simply would not be firing.
Well, because, like, a lot of my cousins we met in Oakland, but some of them live in smaller towns. And we were talking about just, like, one of my cousins lives in Red Bluff. Have you ever been?
No.
Heard of it?
No.
Yeah, it's up north. It's clear, like, by the Oregon border. And she was saying that. I was like, well, what about, like, you know, I'm talking like they're aliens. I'm like, well, what about, like, Uber? And she's like, well, we have one Uber in the town.
Excuse you?
One Uber man who tells us the hours that he'll be doing Uber.
Not Uber man. With this A24 horror.
One man who does Uber. And I said, this is, like, I couldn't imagine not being able to, like, I'm such a city girl.
Yeah.
Like, I need a city. I need to be able to catch this Uber in 60 seconds, honey. I need to be able to DoorDash some food to the front door.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, they don't have, like, delivery. You have to go, like... Like, it's 1999. You got to go to the store yourself.
I do remember, I think I went to a wedding in Tennessee or something, and I got an Uber, like, to get coffee, and I ordered an Uber later, and it was the same guy. And I have to say, I was chilled to the bone.
Yes! I don't think I've ever gotten the same Uber driver in LA. And if I have, it's been, like, months apart. I can't even imagine remembering
the person. That's never happened to me. Never.
Yeah. So it's literally a town where everyone knows each other. Like, they know your business. They know if you're having trouble in your marriage. Like, it's too much.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't. Look at you. Yes. You look disgusted.
I haven't even considered any of these questions about myself, let alone whether or not other people care about those things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so we were just having these conversations, and they're super happy and content, and they do soccer on the weekends and baseball, and it's so normal. And I thought, this is just, like, the anti of everything that is in my core.
Oh no.
Like, I didn't realize that I was such a city girl.
No, I mean, like, the World Cup just happened and now the U.S. is out of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now we have to go back to convincing the rest of the world we have heard of soccer.
When I tell you, I did not care, baby. I was like, oh, no. I did care because I was like, oh, the you know, some people are outside. Some men might be outside.
Right.
I can go, you know, see a cutie. But other than that, like, I wasn't This is the worst place they could have picked, you know, for the World Cup, to be honest.
Oh, no, no, no. Soccer is important for one reason, and it is haircuts. Like, people are like, oh, gay guys always have the best haircuts. I'm like, we're just stealing from soccer.
Now, that fine man. So his name is Maduka Okoye. He plays for the Nigerian team. They were out, you know, weeks ago. You ready to see the finest man you ever seen in your life?
This should be a new segment of our show. You just show me men. And I go, woo! Like I'm in the audience of Family Matters.
I just got to show you how fine this man is. But I got to find the right. You know when you want to show your friend like who you're dating, but you got to find the right picture?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, this happens to me all the time. This was all of Fire Island.
I'm like, wait, just wait. Okay. That's ridiculous. This is the whole reason why I started watching the World Cup.
Well, first of all, his body looks metallic.
Just scroll. I want you to scroll. This man is...
Oh, my God. Also, by the way, soccer is very all about glamour shots of their muscularness.
Yes.
So they very are like, we're going to do gay things in a very straight mm-hmm. way, and mm-hmm. you're going to admire us for it.
And we will.
Yeah, right.
I didn't realize how fine the men in soccer were.
Oh, no. They have, like, shelf asses every time.
I know where he's been. He's in London right now.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I've been following this man since...
Oh, you're tracking him. It's like Born Identity.
I've been liking everything. Like, maybe he'll see this through the millions. Yeah. Like this, I've never seen a more beautiful man in my life. So for that, I thank them for coming here.
No, right.
You know?
Because, no, you're right. I do believe soccer is also half modeling.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they're not, some of them aren't really running.
Right.
You know, they're like sitting in the back and they have like a hand up
yes.
like that. You know?
I feel like with the World Cup and with heated rivalry, I feel like I'm a sports girly now.
Right.
I care about hockey a little bit.
Yeah, I don't care more about hockey, even though my brother is actually obsessed with it. Apparently, there's like 8 hockey shows happening right now.
Joel
Kim Booster made the joke, like, guys, that wasn't the interesting part of that show.
Right. I've seen like all these hockey spinoffs quickly, too. They happen quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm now we into sports, honey. I'm like, if they keep looking, making them like this,
okay,
I'll be front row and center.
Oh God. This better not turn into a sports podcast. Nina, we're getting off to the wrong start.
I know. Listen, but it'd be worth it, baby.
Okay.
I'm coming here with that man.
Now, okay. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be doing an extended Keep It. So buckle up. We're going to go through some of our Keep It's for the week and then dive into some Keep It's we've been sitting on for years. Nina, I'm so excited you're
too.
Here. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. The fact is, we all know about mental health. It feels like I'm constantly talking about mental health and I know very little about it. And yet, the point where you actually seek it can often feel like a step too far or often feels like, oh, this is scary and I'm now putting words to something I didn't want to before, when really it can just clarify what you're going through. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works, with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps you identify your needs and preferences, and our 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means we typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from our tailored recs. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/keepit. That's betterhelp.com/keepit. This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace gives you everything you need to offer services and get paid, all in one place. From consultations to events and experiences, showcase your offerings with a customizable website designed to attract clients and grow your business. Get paid on time with professional on-brand invoices and online payments. Plus, streamline your marketing workflow with built-in appointment scheduling and email marketing tools. With Squarespace's collection of cutting-edge design tools, anyone can build a bespoke online presence that perfectly fits their brand or business. Start with Blueprint AI, Squarespace's AI-enhanced website builder, to get a fully custom website in just a few steps, using basic information about your industry, goals, and personality to generate premium quality content and personalized design recommendations. Squarespace also offers a complete library of professionally designed and award-winning website templates with options for every use and category. No matter where you start, your website is flexible to what you need with intuitive drag-and-drop editing, beautiful styling options, unrivaled visual design effects, on-brand AI content, and more ways to list what you offer, no experience required. Fundraise directly on your website and grow your impact with built-in donations donation tools. Create a professional on-brand website that makes it easy to accept one-time or recurring contributions and engage supporters. With built-in email campaigns and marketing tools, you can connect with your community and inspire more people to support your cause. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/keepit to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/keepit. And we are back. There has been a lot going on in this week other than Ms. Swift's wedding. So let's jump right into some of our keep its this week. Nina, why don't you start?
Oh, you want me to start? Okay, so I saw this article about how Netflix is experiencing like a sophomore slump. Mm. And that like they just can't get the audiences to return for the second season of shows. And my keep the second season at this point.
Please.
Because I'm tired of waiting 2 to 3 years. I'm so sorry. Like I am so ready to get back to what we experienced most of our lives with regular TV. September, we start a fresh season. We get 22 to 25 episodes. It goes all the way till damn May.
We get a Valentine's Day episode.
We get a Christmas episode.
Yes.
You know, we get an episode about spring cleaning.
Yeah.
They're going to throw that in there. Yeah, you know right. what I mean? A New right. Year's episode.
The writers are tired.
Right. Yeah. We get a summer break. They literally talk about the summer.
Yeah.
And then we back.
Yes.
September 1st, right after Labor Day. I have to be honest. The waiting 2 years for 6 episodes... I'm done.
You're
with it.
Right. No, it's like the fire is gone.
Yeah.
You know?
If you would think with the advancement of everything, it's 2026 that we'd be able to film these. I don't even care if you film it all at the same time and release it, like film 12 episodes and release 6 and 6, you know, back to back. But like the wait that we have to go through, there are so many shows I didn't go back to on Netflix. Like I didn't go back to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like because now I've waited so long, you can kind of outgrow a show too if you're waiting too long. So I don't know. I just am so over the streamers kind of taking 2-3 years and just expecting like the audience will just come back.
Right.
That being said, HBO has kind of gotten it. I think what they do is because they drop every week. There's more momentum. Apple TV does this too. There's a little bit more momentum with their shows because even if the turnaround is a year or two, they still drop. So you're talking about it for months.
Totally.
As opposed to Netflix kind of drops everything all at once. And then you're done with the favorite show that you love in 2 days. And I don't know. There's something that feels a little empty about that.
Oh, no. No, you're right. It feels like an afterthought, the way they just drop television on, you know, these streaming services. No, I mean, like when I think of like the most pleasurable TV watching experiences the past 15 years or whatever, it's about the sustained conversations.
Yeah.
You know, like a show I loved was Kate Winslet in Mare of Easttown, which
same.
You know, but that was just every week, like what is going to happen, you know, and like who's going to be revealed. And I'm thinking about that character and what will we learn about them? Whereas a lot of these shows, people are, I guess, happy when a season comes out, but there's really not much to say when you get an entire season all at once.
I think they think that they're serving the customer, and it's kind of like giving a toddler candy. Yeah, like we want it now and we're going to eat it all, but then we're going to be sick.
You know?
Like we do need you to disperse this, like do it for us. Because of course, if it's my favorite show, if it's Stranger Things, I'm going to consume it all at once. But I do think there's something to be said for just dosing it out to us.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like, you know, it's a little bit edging. You know what I mean? Imagine a little bit. Give me something.
Speaking my language.
You know, give me something to wait for.
No, it's like House of the Dragon is doing it right now, where like people need to comment on like text threads and like RuPaul's Drag Race is like
create
that too.
Create community, because how can I create a community if you've watched it? If I'm busy at work and I don't get to watch it until Friday, you watched everything on Monday. You're going to go talk to the people who've already watched it and you're going to spoil it.
Right.
So I'm avoiding social media until I see it. And then I'm jumping into days old conversation that doesn't really feel like a community. Whereas like if I watch if I'm talking about The Pit, if I'm talking about my friends and your friends and neighbors, like these are shows that are dropping weekly. It builds more of a momentum and conversation, which I feel like when you drop everything at once, it's just such a quick burn and then you forget about it.
You know, I would also say that as much as I love watching like movies by myself, so I know what I think and I'm not hearing other people's opinion, I think for the most part with television, it's best as a communal experience.
Agreed.
You know, like even like RuPaul's Drag Race is an obvious one that is literally like sports for gay men.
Of course.
We just want something to scream at. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But also, like with the pit, though, like that moment when everyone's gathering because the episode just came out, it's just not only does it create more of a moment, but it gives you more of a reason to think about what's happening.
And we're all on social media now. So it's like, we experienced that. There was nothing I loved better than like going to school the day after like A Different World aired and talking to my friends about my favorite moment, right? Yeah. There wasn't social media, it didn't exist. And it just, I don't know, it bonded us. And I do feel like we experienced like these little recipes we're losing. And this is one of the recipes. Like there is something to be said for like, if I remember like my first job when I was 16 working with like a 70-year-old retiree, and being the one thing we had in common was like a favorite show that we loved, you know, that we could talk about. I'm folding clothes in the mall and she's telling me about Seinfeld and we're laughing about something. But like, there's just like that one connective tissue that I think is kind of missing with like bridging the gap with a lot of people. So I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, we're getting things faster, and I hate to sound like my parents, but I don't know if faster is better.
No, totally. So I guess that leaves one question. Which A Different World cast member are you?
Oh, that's a good question, because it depends on the day.
Yeah.
Who was I today? I was a little bit of Denise today because I was all over the place. I was a little bit of Denise, honey.
Whoa, Denise. Yes, I'm shocked.
Yes. She was only there for a short time, but a good time.
Yeah, right. She's like, I have to go bake Angel Heart. Sorry.
What about you?
Oh, definitely Whitley. Please.
Yes.
I came here to be Whitley. Something I miss about television, and this used to be every sitcom, there was always one character whose whole thing was fashion.
Yes.
You know, like Karen on Step by Step.
Yep. The nanny.
Whitley. Hillary Banks on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, there was always one who like, and they would like roll their eyes.
Yes.
Characters who rolled their eyes. What happened to that?
Listen, the shadiness of it all.
Yeah.
Because now it's either like yelling, or they're just making out the whole time.
Right, right.
There's not really a lot of
in-between. There's not a lot of stuck-up characters, which yes. I so miss.
You know why? Because people consider that bullying now.
Right. Fuck them.
I mean,
it's cool to be stuck up.
I like a little bougie.
Yeah.
You know, I like somebody a little discerning.
Yeah, no. When Hillary Banks would go grocery shopping in her dad's fridge, come on. Love it.
Gold.
Yes.
Gold. So, yeah, I don't know. I just want to bring back, you know, and man, I just want more than 8 episodes. Like,
yeah.
I am so excited. I just finished Your Friends and Neighbors and it was 10 episodes and I felt like I had won the lottery.
Oh, we just had Wendy McClendon Covey on and her show, St. Dennis Medical, which is a mockumentary in the hospital. Love how many episodes of that we get.
Yes, there are some shows, and I will say like The Pit gets it right. They're coming back faster.
Yeah.
Some are, but you know, again, like I do think the shows that take, aside from a show like, you know, House of Dragon, which, you know, the production scale is crazy. But like a show like The Pit doesn't need to take 2 years.
No.
Like maybe y'all in one room the whole time. Maybe two.
You got a couple of steady cams. I know you can get this quick.
Y'all go outside in front of the hospital and you come back inside. Like y'all ain't going nowhere. You don't know location.
Though, can I tell you something? I'm a little mad at The Pit right now.
Why?
I feel like all the characters got a little folksier. Like Catherine Lanaza, who won the Emmy last year for playing the charge nurse. Now everything out of her mouth is like a fucking Dolly Parton colloquialism.
I've heard this criticism.
And she's always talking out the side of her mouth. It's real Reba core.
People said they felt like the accent got stronger.
Yeah.
You felt like it got a little.
Totally.
Like, you know, a little like folksy.
Like she almost is like looking to the camera and being like, well, that's that.
Like she's like, she really did just kind of open it up and she's going to wink at the camera.
Like she's
going
to have a sitcom offshoot.
You know? I get that. You know, I did like how she kind of knocked that guy out. But like, other than that, but yeah, I do. I see that. I'm trying to, you know, I'm still trying to get on the Santos train.
Oh, yeah. I think that is a well done, just miserable character.
Right.
Love it.
I have to appreciate when I hate a character.
Yes.
Because that means because I've seen her in interviews and she's lovely.
And she's so talented.
And
she's
talented.
An amazing singer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw her performing.
Which Issa Briones is her name. Yes.
And I'm thinking this means she's incredible, because I think it kind of, I don't want to say it's easier to play a character we all love, but like when you know that the audience is going to kind of love whatever you do, like it just gives you more freedom. But when I wonder how it feels to play someone that people genuinely despise.
No, I would say she's a risk-taking actress.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just like the depths to which you are like so annoyed with her and so can expect to be annoyed by her.
Because we've all worked with someone like that.
Yeah.
Where it's just, they get real familiar, give you a nickname. Like, fisticuffs.
Yeah, no, like, right. It's so patronizing.
My
yes.
biggest pet peeve is early familiarity.
Ugh.
I hate, like, when I just meet someone and they want to joke with you or you say something and they like, if I'm drinking a water, they're like, oh, you like to be hydrated, don't you?
Cool bit.
Right.
Yeah. Really nailed it. I drank something.
I hit a bit. I think that's what it is.
Oh, well, namely there, when it's just like, this isn't like lubricating the job at all. You're making things harder.
I hate when people are like, it's a bit. I'm like, you're not on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Do we need a bit?
No, we absolutely do not.
Are you just awkward and nervous?
Well, funny enough, this dovetails with my first Keep It, which is not that pop cultural, but something I just hear all the time and heard it in Fire Island. Keep it to people who say they hate small talk. I hate it. When people, I don't want to have this conversation, you know, about this topic again, about the weather, about what we did last night, about what we're doing. You know that any conversation can be good if you just like people.
That's very true.
I hate when people come into a conversation with like, one, the expectation that other people will, I guess, do the work for them and make it interesting. Or two, I just feel like any small interaction can be good. If I'm getting coffee from somebody and we say even two words to each other, you can put like some elan into that and make it like a little bit cuter, or a little bit like, I saw what you just did or whatever.
Well, you're a conversationalist too. You have to remember it. Like a lot of people are bad at conversation.
Well, no, certainly. And also people aren't all ignited by conversation.
Right.
Like
that's
if I'm
true.
In a conversation, I get to really be myself and I'm not self-conscious and I enjoy whatever's happening. But at the same time, it's like the idea that one, you're owed the conversation of your life every time you speak to people is bizarre. And then two, that you wouldn't put it upon yourself to make the conversation better. I just don't get it.
I just feel like, what else are we supposed to have? I don't know you.
Yeah, is there a better version of this that you can think of?
Yeah.
Also, because this is the good part of life, meeting people.
So I feel like I am a nice person. I do.
Okay, we're going to test that with the show. Okay.
Genuinely, I think I'm nice. I don't know if I'm like the most polite always, though.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of social cues I just don't want to subscribe to. I'm always like, I don't need to rush it. That's how I approach getting to know someone. It's like, I don't need to know your life story in the first 5 minutes. Like, let's just get to know each other organically. I'm all about it being organic. Like, if the small talk is organic, but I think what people don't like is forced small talk.
Yeah, right.
You know?
But even then, it can still be good. I don't know. I hate to be a Pollyanna about it.
Yeah.
But it's just like, first of all, I guess, you know, like Madonna, I refuse to be bored. So the conversation will be good.
Well, are you on dating apps?
Say what? With Nina. Let's talk about divulging information. Any other questions?
I am sure.
Oh, okay. No. That can be harder to like ignite something initially because there's so many formalities you have to go through.
Okay. So
but no, even then, well, please.
Okay, I won't say, are you on? I'll say, have you been on dating apps?
Yeah. Right.
Like a lot of people
I like to mix that up.
A lot of people on apps will say, I hate small talk, but it's like, well, you're a literal stranger. Like, what else is there right now?
Right. Well, and also, I mean, like, okay, you figure out a better version of this. Text me just emojis or something.
But I always like when you're on the app, sometimes there's guys who are like, don't start, especially like on Bumble, right? Because Bumble, the woman has to, or she used to, they changed it, but used to have.
Did they change that?
They changed it as an option. You can still have the you speak first, or you can change it to an open conversation where the man can reach out to you first if you want.
I don't like the man having any power. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I love it. I'm like, you want me to start this conversation? I matched. Do you go to work, baby?
Yeah.
So I do enjoy like that. But I think like there's a version, there's some guys on the app who are like, don't just say hi.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, right.
You're lucky I'm saying hello, first of all, sir.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what's wrong with hi?
Yeah. No, especially, also it's like, if you match with somebody, some people don't even look at their phone ever again. Starting with hi just to like make sure you're there makes sense.
It's just a video game at this point, I'm convinced.
Yeah. Now, speaking of video games, my next Keep It, do you know who fucking Tilly Norwood is?
No.
The AI actress we're
in
shit.
Yes.
Bitch, what?
Whoa. This is crazy.
I'm going to start with the first conversation I ever had about AI happened to be with Kathy Griffin, who said, just looking at the entire table, she goes, who wants this? And that is still
where I remain.
It's
a great question.
And there's a Deadline article about how Tilly Norwood is starring
it's
in a
disgusting.
New movie called Misaligned.
Of course it is.
Now, first of all, again, what is the like upshot of this? Like, who wants to see this actor? First of all, stop pretending it's an actress. It's like Mickey Mouse is going to be playing a detective in this movie. You know what I mean? It's a character that you came up with.
When did Garth Brooks come up with it? What was it? Remember he had that
Chris
character?
Gaines, darling. Yeah.
That's the real AI.
Right. That was the original AI. First, Garth Brooks insisting he has straight hair. Excuse me. Second of all, Yeah, here's the thing. First of all, it's AI, and like, you know, most obnoxious AI, it is depleting our resources, yes, et cetera. So if Tilly Norwood is going to be in a movie, I want a running tally at the bottom of the screen of how many fucking rainforests we're chopping down, right, so that she can win the big football game or whatever she does in these fucking movies.
I just have no idea why this is necessary. Why do we need this?
Right.
Instead of giving me my second season fast enough on Netflix, like, this is where we're spending our resources.
Right.
I genuinely agree with you where it's like, where is this audience begging for something like this?
Yeah.
And they're posting, you know, and I have to say, I have so many friends who are actors who are out of work right now.
Yeah.
Like, this has to feel, you know, if I'm thinking about it in host, you know, in that framing, if I saw a new show that was being hosted by an AI, I would be furious.
Which, yes.
I mean, that's got to be coming too. But it really is just kind of icky.
Who wants to watch it? I'm so confused.
I wouldn't.
By it. I'm very, I never thought of myself as pro-human before, but it, like, I'm, this is the whole point.
Now you're pro-human. The arts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you on TikTok a lot?
No, I'm not. I mean, like it will scroll? Get sent to me.
Okay.
But
you don't go scroll.
No.
Okay. So there's, I have, you know, I told you I'm skincare obsessed.
Yes.
And so I spend like the last hour of my day scrolling TikToks.
Wow.
On
I can
skincare.
Picture the intensity with which you do this. Yes.
It's only skincare really that I'm on there for. Everything else feels a little, I'm not the TikTok audience. Everything else feels a little immature on there. I'm going to be honest.
Like, namely the comedy. Yeah.
The comedy. And also, like, there's a lot of beefs on TikTok. Like, why are the two dermatologists beefing over if you should use azelaic acid? Like, are y'all okay? Why are we doing this?
I kind of like that there's a grudge match between people like that.
It's really weird. Like, when you really get a deep diving, everybody's having beef with somebody or they're airing out their personal business, which I do neither of those things. So there is a part of me that feels like this is for a younger audience. But I will say, like, there's, when you're scrolling, there's these AI short form AI shows that like have talking fruit that are having affairs. Like, why is a strawberry having an affair with grapes? Like, it's very strange.
Sorry, I'm like borderline throwing
it's
up.
It's like, but at least it's on TikTok, right? Yeah. Like, this, it's not being announced on Deadline. Like, it's empty. It's 1 minute. You can scroll and watch, or you can keep it moving. And then that's kind of your choice to watch. But like, doing a Deadline article, creating a movie, putting it, giving her an Instagram page, treating it like it's this up and coming actress, like, this is the emperor has no clothes.
No, right. There's no good part.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's horrible.
No. And also, like, I think the description of the movie like talks about like AI misadventures she gets to. It's like, oh, that's another thing. Don't get meta with this.
Right.
Don't be commenting on this shit while you're doing it either.
Yes. It's just, and then there's going to be like a fandom. You know that's going to happen. Like, there are going to be people who are fan pages, people who are leaving comments. Like, this is a real person. It just gets really parasocial. It's very strange.
Right. I have enough problems with like the fans of like Cat's Eye, let alone this shit. I don't have time.
Was it from my Grammy conversation?
Oh my God, yes. Oh yeah, wait, to quote you, gang gang.
Oh man.
Yes.
Between that and Nick Cannon, Chad, my mentions ain't been the same.
I know. You know you did a public service with that one. Do you have another
It's actually AI.
Oh yeah.
Kind of linking with what you said, it's that not everything is AI.
Uh-huh.
And I need people to be a little bit more discerning. I don't know if you're scrolling threads and Twitter, but anytime anybody posts a video or a picture, someone in the comments is like, that's AI.
Oh, you're a detective now.
No one is discerning to be able, you can't look, like if you look at an AI video, 99% of the time you can tell. There are a couple that have sneaked by, but mainly, especially with the way that there's just certain characteristics of an AI video that it's pretty clear. Like now this dog has four arms when it, you know what I mean?
No, right.
Like,
there's a little bit of back rooms going
four
on.
To five.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, there's some weird stuff that happens. Somebody's wearing a shirt and then all of a sudden it's a button down. Like they're clear giveaways, but I am noticing that people are lazily now just kind of, and no one is doing research. They're not doing it. When you read a headline, you're not seeing if it's a real headline. I think we've talked about this before where I'm like, if there's a bold font, people think it's real.
Right. Oh,
you know?
No.
So now
people
it's
people want to believe things. Yeah.
Yeah. They want to believe it. And so it kind of pushes that narrative. But what I'm seeing now is that everything is getting blamed on AI. Everybody is saying it's instead of clicking the link, reading the article, Googling and seeing if there's another source. Like, they'll ask other people to do it in the comments. Can someone verify if this is real? Baby, how'd you type this? Does your search bar work?
By the way, I think in order for me to keep participating on social media, I need special glasses that tell me which commenters are 14. I'm sorry. Because again, the mystique of I'm you know, giving you the benefit of the doubt. I assume, you know, you're of age that you've, you know, participated in society in some some regard.
I'm blocking. I am in my block area. So block party. Everybody is invited. Come on in. I am not going back and forth. Unless I personally know you, like, I'm not going back and forth with you about my opinion.
Oh, no.
I'm not doing that, babes. Especially if it's something like, oh, like, if you say you like the Madonna album.
Yeah.
And I come in the comments to tell you it's not good.
Yeah.
Like, what's the purpose here?
Oh, my least favorite kind of comment is when someone says, can you clarify? For who, girl? You?
Like,
I said what I said.
I can understand wanting someone to explain, like, political commentary, right? Yeah. I'm not going to explain why I like banana bread.
Yeah, right.
You're going to have to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not getting into an explanation.
I'm just going to assume that's your truth.
Right. And I was talking to you about this off camera, but I'm like, I'm also not trying to convince you not to love your fave. Like, if you like Taylor Swift, if you like Nicki Minaj, I am not going to try to convince you to not love them. I'm just not. They're not for me.
And also, by the way, I want to say that is, at this point, very old internet. Like, you know, it just reminds me of, like, early days of Twitter in a way. I just feel like we've, I mean, obviously not everybody is our age, but, like, we have done that. And, you know, we've been in those conversations and we know how unproductive they are.
Right. And also everything, I think there is, because it's on the internet, people think it's for them.
Yeah.
And I think I've always known, like, I think I learned this as a kid when I'm watching shows that didn't have anyone who looked like me. Oh, like, maybe I'm not the target audience. If I like it, I'll watch. But, like, they may not care if I watch or not. So I've always kind of grown up feeling like not every conversation is for me. Not every toy was for me. And as I gotten older, it's been the same. Not every person is for me. Doesn't mean they're bad. This is not my people.
Right.
So when I see something that doesn't apply to me, guess what I do? I scroll.
Yeah.
I don't comment. I don't tell you why your opinion is wrong. I'm like, oh, this isn't for me. Let me mute this.
Yeah, let me not jump in it.
You know what you can do? You can always press not interested, or you can log off and go do something outside.
Oh, which I was just hearing that people are socializing less than ever before.
Really?
And it's just, I'm so sorry. I hate to be this person. The internet will kill us. You know what I mean? It's just like, know that we're on the death spiral every time we do this fucking scrolling. Just know that.
I've been really trying to find balance, because seeing, like, everyone kind of be like, this is AI, this isn't real. Why are you here then? Like, you got to go outside. I think the key is, I need to be outside.
I do think maybe that's funny to say in real life, though. Like, if someone's just talking and they say, you're like, this is AI, and you walk away.
Now, I actually love to say that when someone talks about, you know how, like, back in Sesame Street when nobody else could see Mr. Snuffleupagus?
Oh, yes.
So now people would say, well, that's AI, you know? So now I like to just say, if a person, I haven't seen them for a long time, I like to say that they're AI. As a joke, I think it's funny. It's troubling when people take it seriously.
Can I say about Snuffleupagus, his eyelashes, he was that bitch. Honey, they fluttered. Yeah.
Yes.
He's like, you can't see me, bird, but my eyelashes are fucking
the lashes,
slay.
The bundles?
Yeah.
The bundles? Oh, Mr. Snuffleupagus, please.
Yeah.
Nobody was fucking with him.
No, right.
Oh, please. No, yes.
A delight. Yes.
I have to say, I should do a I've been doing rewatches lately.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my rewatches has been Sex and the City. This will get into our
Me
keep
too.
Us later.
I have been rewatching it myself.
Have you?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite TV shows.
This will go into our Keep Us Later. I have some
Oh,
thoughts.
Great. Well, we can get right into that. We are going to move into our historical Keep Its coming right up. We will be right back. Keep It is brought to you by Nutrafol. You know that feeling when your hairline starts filling in? Or when you head out the door and realize you didn't even do that last mirror check to make sure everything's sitting right? These small moments start to add up. And before you know it, you're just feeling like yourself again. Nutrafol supports hair health from within, helping you grow stronger, visibly thicker hair, so those that feeling when moments happen more and more often. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF certified for sport, and clinically tested. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Nutrafol offers multiple formulas for men and women tailored to different life stages, like postpartum or menopause, and lifestyle factors, such as a plant-based diet, so you get support that's actually right for you. Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is easy. Order online, no prescription needed, with automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Let your hair become one less thing taking up space in your head and see thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code KEEPIT. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code KEEPIT. Keep It is brought to you by Acorns. So many people are focused on where their money is today. Acorns is the financial wellness app that cares about where your money is going tomorrow. And with the Acorns potential screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. And it's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. The Acorns potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money could grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, week, or month to make sure you're building towards your goals. Acorns is all in one. No more finance apps, cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. As you know, I take little responsibility for what happens in my own life, and that's why I need things like Acorns, which is basically a money babysitter in your phone. And it tells you, hey, look, you can build potential this way. And guess what? Then I do it. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/keepit or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/keepit.
Okay, so Liz, this is my first official episode.
Ooh.
I do have years worth of Keepits to get off of my chest. So I think we should go back and forth and discuss some Keepits that have been the foundation of our personalities.
Let's unearth them.
Okay, all right. So Sex and the City was a big part of my womanhood.
Oh, it's a big part of my womanhood.
I remember when we talk about going and watching and waiting for a show every week, I mean, it was like my religion.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, I would watch it. My friend maybe had like a 10-inch TV that was like white. It was supposed to be a kitchen TV, but she couldn't afford like a regular one. We would just sit around it and watch Sex and the City.
Yeah.
I waited for that like, because you knew the HBO thing was coming on and you could hear, you know,
dun,
what I mean?
Dun,
yes,
dun,
exactly. But I've rewatched it recently.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to forget about it and just like that. So I was like, let me rewatch.
I have to tell you, I just have decided to forget that.
I'm just going to pretend it didn't exist.
Yeah.
And I was rewatching. And I have to tell you, Carrie is the problem.
No, people always say that. People are always like, oh, she's such a selfish friend, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like all my friends are a little bit selfish, and that's why I like them.
You think
them.
So?
Yeah.
I don't have that problem.
Okay.
But the selfish ones I got
including
about
including myself. I don't mean
really?
To put myself in
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. No. I got the selfish ones up. Now, putting yourself first doesn't mean that you're selfish.
Yeah.
Telling your friend that she should give you the money from her engagement ring is delusional. And it's beyond selfish. It's a little insane. Like, Carrie was crazy.
Yeah.
She was popping. And I, you know, I don't know if you've seen these mock-ups of like fan fiction. Well, not fan fiction, but fan edits.
Uh-huh.
Where they put the scary music on the back and show her popping up at Big's house all the time and say that he was the victim because she wouldn't leave him alone and she's just popping up. And I was like, she was just kind of popping up at his house, wasn't she? I don't think she was a perfect character and there are things about her I liked, but she was really like self-centered.
Yeah. Oh, well, my two least favorite things about Carrie are one, anytime she reads her own writing, because like when she puts out a book, she's like at the whatever Barnes and Noble reading it, and her line is like, maybe it was Mr. Big, maybe it was New York. I was like, this is unacceptable, Carrie.
And who knows? Maybe one day we'll all walk in the sunset together.
Yeah.
And it's like, girl, like, I wanted her to be a little bit more dark. She should have
right.
been.
Right. Witty. Like, we keep hearing about how witty she is as a writer, and then it never comes up in the writing. And then my other problem with her is, I just think Mr. Big never really had the charisma. Like, I always felt like she was telling us he was, like, important, and I wasn't really vibing with him ever.
That, to me, is the most realistic part, because how many times have your friends been in love with a bum?
Oh.
And he wasn't a bum, but, like, personality-wise, he kind of was.
Because I often find that people with real personalities are attracted to boring.
Yes.
You know, like they're the half of the personality that's dynamic, you know.
And I think, what is it that the kids are calling it? Limerence?
No, what is that?
Where it's like you meet someone and you're kind of, you're energized by the idea of the person, and you kind of put yourself in this state of mind about what it could be. And it literally is something like chemically that happens to you where you're pushing for a relationship or more from something that really wasn't built out of much, but your imagination, you know,
sure.
And it's like a forced connection that you think you have with this person.
Oh, I live really in my head. I love projecting romance or whatever I want.
I have to remind myself sometimes when I meet a fine man, I'm like, girl, that's just limerence. Like you don't really love him.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a lover girl. I'll fall in love in a week.
Romance is important to me, not in a long-term way. I agree with Fran Lebowitz on this.
Oh, sound like you love him and leave him.
Say, oh, please. But that doesn't mean I didn't.
You a hot
that
boy. Does,
but it doesn't mean I didn't love him.
Yeah. You just said for a short time, not
yes,
a long time.
Right.
See, I'm such a lover girl. Like I also
great Tina Marie song.
Yes, it is. I get, if it's early, I get the it quick.
Okay. Yeah,
I get that it quick.
Well, I think it's also rare that I'm like wrong about how I feel about somebody. Mm. So it's like, it would make sense that it would pick up quickly.
And you learn, or the older you get, the easier your detector is. Like if this is, not even if they're good or bad, but like if this is a fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I can have lunch with somebody and know if they're going to be a good friend or not. And I can kind of do the same with a man. Like, oh, this would be, I could see this, not that it will be something, but I could see it being more than just when there's times where I meet people and I'm like, this is the last time you'll ever talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever thought about that when you're talking to someone, you're like, you'll never see me again?
All the time. No, people are completely unself-aware.
Yeah.
I was in Fire Island and some guy was talking, he was comparing two actors in a movie and he goes, oh, you mean not the hot one? I was like, and it was so fucking rude.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, woof, rude.
Yeah.
And that was the last time I saw him. Yes. Oh, I love to ruin someone's day.
Oh, I love this. You do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you'll say it.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, I've said this before on the show. My dream is to host a TLC-like show where I'm watching people's conversations from afar and then I come in and tell them what they did wrong. Oh, you were name dropping. You were going on too long. You were
in their face.
Self-important.
This is a dating show.
You know, it's like what not to wear, but for conversations.
Well, you know, I have this idea of a dating show where you just watch the person on the date and then you tell them why they're single.
Yeah.
And it's called You're the Problem.
And also, by the I would love it if they didn't know they were on that show. If they were like told it was something else.
Yes, because also people need to know.
Yeah.
You need to. My biggest fear is I'm delusional. Like I have interacted with people in Los Angeles in this industry and they're out of their minds.
Oh yeah.
They're out of their minds. And I'm like, I don't ever want to be this delusional about my talent, about myself. Like I need a reality check often.
Oh yeah. No, I often find that people who live in bubbles get to stay in them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
it's
people
so true.
Aren't really, don't find a reason to get in their face or like, I mean, that's even a rude way of putting it. I'm just even addressing it. And it's hard to explain because you would sort of just think after a while people would get confronted about acting a certain way, but I would say they almost never do.
No, I think what the problem is people don't speak up.
Yeah.
So when you are someone who speaks up, I just find like, I like to get to the nitty gritty quick. I don't want to pretend for a long period of time and let you get by. And also people who make other people uncomfortable hate to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
right.
I start to throw it back at them because I'm like, you're not just gonna make me uncomfortable in this space. Like we can both be uncomfortable in this thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They don't do it again.
Oh, please.
You know, so that's what I'm into. So I love that.
No, we're aligned on this.
Yes.
Okay. My first historical keep it. This week we got a new, I'm saying new in quotations, Beyonce song.
Yes.
Celebrating the 20th anniversary of B-Day, which by the way, how much do I hate the passage of time? 20 fucking years since
crazy.
Her second solo
that's
album. That is
crazy.
Really upsetting to me. My first historical keep it is that Deja Vu is not considered a top tier Beyonce song. It got to number 4 on the chart, so I'm not saying it wasn't a hit or anything, but it sort of came and went. And I just want to say, I think the best version of Beyonce for me is Frantic Beyonce. I like the Ring the Alarm Beyonce.
Illuminate.
Lose My Breath.
Yeah.
You know, just like the jitteriness. Because I feel like that's sort of the most specific version of her.
Yeah.
When she has the most personality.
Yeah, I like an angry Beyonce.
Yeah, angry Beyonce.
I do. Her, obviously, that's why Lemonade was so successful. But also, maybe it's the vulnerability.
Yes.
A lot of it is just her. She's a lover girl, right? So she's kind of singing about her love and why she loves you. And, you know, and maybe there's a breakup song. But mainly, like, when she's angry, it's another kind of, you're right, it's like a fire. Because she has to even keel. Like, we don't.
Usually,
she's still mysterious.
Yeah.
After all these years, she's still kind of mysterious.
No, because we kind of don't ultimately know her personality. Because she's such a performer.
Yep.
And it's electric as a performance. But she's not really giving anything away. You know, it's like she can sing a ballad well. She can be, she can emote as a singer.
Sure.
But it doesn't ever feel like you're hearing, like, her internal processes, really.
Like, we don't know her sense of humor. Like, we don't know, like, I don't even know if I know, like, her favorite color. Like,
no.
We know she's obsessed with the number four. But that's, like, there's still, like, and which I kind of appreciate because we don't really have divas anymore.
Yeah.
So I do kind of like the mystery. But I think most of our other favorite, like, you know, stars like a Sabrina Carpenter, they're going to post on TikTok. They're going to post.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're doing TikToks. They're doing all these things where we, if there's still like that rumor that Beyonce has a burner account that she posts from. Like, we don't really know, though. You know, she kind of posts very perfect photos on Instagram, but there's not like reels, you know? So I think whenever there's a small interaction, people eat it up because they're still getting like a little droplet of her personality.
Oh, no. Again, whenever I see like an old snippet of a Beyonce interview from like 20 years ago or something, I would say it's like a lost Dead Sea Scroll.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus Christ.
But I kind of appreciate it because I feel like we are not ever meant to know as much as we know about each other right now. I
appreciate it objectively.
Yeah.
I do. But yeah, you're right. That just means that in the music, you're not necessarily, often I want more just to learn more about her.
Yeah.
But I understand that's also intentional.
Yeah, I get it's intentional and it's probably just like protective because then it's like, also it leaves people to make up stuff, which they do a lot.
Oh,
you
of
know?
Course.
And then she'll address it in a song and we love that too.
Yeah, precisely.
Because that Illuminati rumor was going around for a long time before she finally addressed it.
Yes, right. But I believe she really brought the word corny to the fore.
You think so?
Yeah. I think people did call things corny, but after that it was like, that is exactly the right word.
I feel like New York brought it back.
Yeah.
Because I started hearing it a lot. And LA talks says weird. We say weird. Weird and weirdo.
Mm.
You could call me weird, but if you call me a weirdo, it's fighting time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I've never thought about it that way. I do say weird all the time.
Which I love being called weird.
Yeah.
You call me a weirdo, though. Then.
No, weirdo, that's Gonzo, baby.
Then, right. Exactly.
It's not Gonzo and Nina Parker.
That's right.
No. What is your historical keep it?
All right, so this is my historical keep it is that there has been conversations about Gen Z just kind of being kind of lame.
Yeah, we hate them.
Yeah. And you know what I think it is? They didn't have Saturday morning cartoons. You know, Saturday morning cartoons was like something we all waited for when we're talking about like streamers now, right? Like if a kid wants to watch cartoons, they can watch it on a Monday. How privileged are you?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
This is going completely unchecked.
When I was a child, you know, I had to wait 7 days for a cartoon.
Right.
And then it was a whole morning and then I had Saved by the Bell, California Dreams.
Oh, I love California Dreams.
Jim and the Holograms. Are you crazy?
The Muppet Babies.
The Muppet Babies?
Maddie with her fucking socks.
Listen, I had to wait for Jim and the Holograms and find out if the Misfits had got them finally this time. It was something like, as a child, you learned the anticipation. You learned a little patience.
Yeah.
You know, you built a little community about your favorite thing. You bought the dolls. You played with the animals that you loved until the show came on. I think the absence of Saturday morning cartoons also taught us how to read and write.
Sure.
By the way, there was learning cartoons where we learn cursive and things like that. These kids don't have none of that.
Also, again, Sesame Street is a part of this too.
Yes,
which also, by the way, had such fabulous music.
Louise
singing Sing by the Carpenters.
Yes.
Oh, love.
And incredibly diverse.
Yes.
All different types and colors of Muppets and people.
Yes, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Maria.
These kids now, it's like the parents give them a tablet. They're so used to the cartoons. I feel like by the age of 10, they're over it.
I'm trying to think of what my definitive Saturday morning cartoon was. Mighty Mouse is who comes to mind.
Mighty Mouse?
Well, also, by the way, because like, they would play new and old,
yes, that's true.
But among the new, I also remember the California Raisins TV show.
Yes, there was.
Which I got to learn about Motown somehow.
And there was one call, the Littles. Do you remember the Littles?
That's familiar.
They were literally little people who lived in your vents and had a whole community. And as a kid, I would go to the vents and
back
talk
rooms,
to them.
Baby.
Yes, exactly. But also, it spawned a lot of creativity with you as a kid, right? Where even when the cartoons were off, like you had these little worlds that you could, you know, go back to and imagine and play with your friends or by yourself, whatever. But I don't know. I feel like that the absence of that has made Gen Z. This is why we get the Gen Z stare. They you talk about small talk.
Oh my God.
They have no idea how to make it.
I have one main Gen Z friend. I'm sorry to say, he does the fucking Gen Z stare all the time. Is like as in you address him directly, and he's startled.
I.
It's so funny. I can't believe it's real.
I had it, like, I've seen it online where people say the Gen Z stare. I hadn't experienced it. I experienced it a couple of weeks ago, and I almost body slammed this girl. I said, girl, do you want to fight? Because let me tell you something. In certain neighborhoods, you just stare at somebody. That means you're trying to give it up.
No, right.
You know what I mean? I was congratulating her. I had hosted this event. I had hosted this cotillion for charity.
Yeah.
And there was a group of little teenage girls who, by the way, I'm at the age now where I hate teenagers.
Oh,
like most of them are okay, but like certain teenage groups, I'm that person that's in line, I'm at for coffee, and I'm like, I'm leaving.
It's right.
They scream, they're crazy, whatever. So it was a group of teenage girls, which I should have known this felt like a rom-com that I was in, that like I was on the bullying end. And I'm like, congratulations, you all look beautiful. And these bitches just stared at me. And I said, this is an all black event. I said, y'all don't know how to speak? Because you know I'm going to say something. Okay. And somebody's mom. I said, where's your mom at? Because we going to nip this in the bud, baby. Do this.
I'm picturing you on your front porch wagging a newspaper at kids throwing eggs.
Like, not speaking is so crazy to me if someone speaks to you.
We also, by the way, it's just the beginning. You know that for the next 10, 20 years, it's gonna get real nonverbal in here. And I don't mean in a spectrum-y way.
I now understand why they're senior communities. Put me in a community with people like me. Get me out of here. If the world turns to this in another 15 years, get me about it. Take me to the retirement community, because I don't want to be a part of this.
You know what? I never really thought I wanted to be in a retirement community, but I bet they play a lot of fucking Scrabble. And let me just channel it all into that.
But it's going to be a turned up when we're seniors. It's going to be just people who like to listen to what we listen to.
Yeah.
Watch what we watch. Do activities that we want to do. They're going to be in there playing Wordle.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm going to be talking to nobody. It'd be like, Max Martin, 30 number ones. What a life.
We're going to be listening. I think about, like, I get in the car with my dad, and he's playing, like, 80s rap. And he won't let it go. Like, he won't move into even the early aughts. Like, he's just like...
He's like, Africa Bambaataa down. Yeah.
I'm like, why are we listening to the DOC? Anyway, but it's like, I feel like that's going to be me. I'm going to be playing Drake, you know, at 80 years old. But it'll be a turned up little community, I think.
And also, everybody, I think, will be pretty, like, in shape.
Yeah.
Because I think we kind of innovated, like, just keep it going.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. If I'm 70, I don't care what shape I'm in. I'm going to be honest with you. As long as I
have to tell you something. I'm the opposite.
You
I'm going to be wearing the same workout shorts. Listen. And I'm going to be looking like a javelin girl.
There's some things I just don't want to care about once I get to a certain age, because I'm so self-conscious now, obviously, about some things. I don't want to be bothered by 65. Don't be telling me about my fupa.
Yeah.
This stomach going to hit wherever it hits.
No, I'm going to be learning how to do flip-flops in my 60s, I'm sure.
And you know the over 65 crowd has a higher range of STDs these days.
Oh, no. I'm obsessed with nuns with STDs. I love that shit.
Wait a minute now.
Like
the nuns with STDs.
I've heard that like what? In like whatever, there's like, there can be... The same thing with retirement communities. Like, everybody's passing around the same shit.
This is not the same thing.
Yeah, well, you know, the nuns get bored too, sweet girl.
This is a whole fascinating side quest.
It's a sister act.
I didn't know the nuns was getting it in,
baby.
They're
getting back in the habit.
Oh, my God. Now, that show I will watch.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we'll be right back with more Keep It.
Keep It is brought to you by Factor. Hunger strikes and you're exhausted. There's something healthy in your fridge or pantry that you should be making, but you just don't have it in you. I live this every day. For me, eating healthy isn't a willpower problem. It's a setup problem until I found Factor. I am a years-long super fan of Factor. It is always in my fridge. It is sometimes the only thing in my fridge. I'm one of those people. With Factor, I'm hitting my nutrition goals this season without the planning, grocery runs, or cooking. Factor has meals built around your goals, whether that's weight loss, overall nutrition, more protein, that's exactly where they helped me, or GLP-1 support. For strength and workout recovery, check out Factor's Muscle Pro collection. I have to say, I think my favorite Factor meal remains the honey mustard chicken. Sometimes I eat it without the honey mustard because the chicken is so delectable. But if I want a little dip, a little indulgence, luxury, shall we say, it's perfection. Every meal is crafted with functional ingredients, lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole foods, and healthy fats. Factor bans 175 plus ingredients, no artificial colors or sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no refined seed oils, just nutrient dense food. Fresh, never frozen, over 100 rotating weekly meals, including globally inspired flavors like Mediterranean and Asian, so there's always something new to look forward to. Try the newly launched ready-to-eat salads with vibrant ingredients like elote corn and miso edamame, plus 70-plus add-ons to round out your nutrition from green juices to peanut butter energy bites. And the meals are ready in 2 minutes. Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers straight to your door so you have more time for everything you love this spring. The whole process is just so easy, which is why I use it and think you should too. Head to factormeals.com/keepit50off and use code keepit50off to get 50% off and free daily greens per box with new subscription only while supplies last until September 27th, 2026. See website for more details. And we're back, Nina. We both come from different pockets of the culture. What's one thing you're excited to bring the show that I might not already be super interested in?
Well, I feel like, do you watch a lot of reality TV and not the competition show?
That's just it. Competitions I watch. And I used to be obsessed with The Real World. But okay. The Bravo universe, I really kind of took myself out of it. And not because I hate it. I just found like all the conversations about it tend to be, she's crazy.
Right.
You know,
I actually did too. Like, so I was really, really immersed in like the Bravo world and I removed myself. So I think it could be interesting for us to pick one.
Yeah.
And just watch it together.
You know what?
That like would something be something we do together.
That would be a good introduction for me because I know I've missed out on a lot. I have one of my best friends in Chicago, Andy Heron, who was not. And it was not Bravo centric at all. He just put on Vanderpump Rules one day. And he goes, Louis, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Oh. Oh, well, whoa now.
Yeah, no.
Whoa now.
I'm not saying he's all right, but I want to know what he meant.
Yes, you
know.
I would love for us to get into Love Island.
Yes.
But it's so much of a commitment because it airs nightly.
But also, it's like, I watch Big Brother, so I know what it is to be like headlong into stupid.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I'm a Big Brother watcher too, but I think it would be fun for us to get into some mess because I was going to suggest us do Traitors, but that even still is still too game show good. Like,
yeah, that I watch. Yeah, because you watch that.
So I want it to be like mess.
Yeah.
Like just pure mess that's just like chocolate for the soul.
Yeah.
That is just, we are just literally watching it to indulge in. But I think it could be fun for us to pick apart.
Oh, like,
we have to figure out, I think Potomac.
That would be lovely.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, no, Love Island. I love like marble mouth people with crazy accents. That I understand.
Yes. Because I think it would be like, obviously, because we're in LA, we'd want to watch Beverly Hills. But I think we get into like something different. We do a little Potomac and we dissect it because you kind of know who these people are just by seeing them on your timeline. But like diving in, I think they're adding a few new people. So I kind of want us to get into something really messy together.
No, I like, for instance, I do feel bad. I don't really understand Summer House, like what the X factor is there that people have been watching it this entire time. So, OK, yes, we definitely can make.
We can do two.
But you have to hold my hand because I might be a little, you know, ew, like I walked into the monkey house with some of these.
Well, you're going to feel like we're both going to feel like that because both just I'm dipping my toe in. And that's why I need somebody with me.
OK, good.
We're going to be each other's life preserver.
All right.
We're going to get into this mess. We got to get a little messy.
OK. All right.
You know,
it's
going to
be mucky. Yeah.
A little murky waters.
Yeah.
We'll have the life preserver.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Very good start.
Okay. Well, this fall, well, as you know, I'm very actress oriented.
Yes.
So I'm excited about actresses always. And this fall, we're getting big moments from two people I'm just fucking obsessed with. Penelope Cruz, who is one of my favorite actresses. I really don't think she has ever been bad in a movie. I think she's amazing and always like spicy and surprising.
I wouldn't have picked her for your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I here's my impression of me coming out of a Penelope Cruz movie. I've done it before on the show. She did it again. That's it. She's in a new movie directed by the Javis, who did that show Veneno a couple years ago, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to her in that. And also, I am sorry to say, I have not yet seen her in The Invite, that movie that came out a couple weeks ago. Olivia Wilde directed it. It's Seth Rogen, Olivia Wilde, Penelope Cruz, and Edward Norton, who I also think is always good.
He is.
My friends are all obsessed with it. I'm sorry. I will get to it. I was, you know, in Fire Island. So looking forward to Penelope Cruz. And then also, do you know who Sandra Hüller is?
No.
Sandra Hüller made this huge splash a couple years ago being in two Best Picture nominated movies. She was in Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay.
Which is a movie about somebody whose husband just like falls from the like attic of their ski house and they have to figure out what happened. She's put on trial for murder. And the way this woman murders this role and is, you know, very bubbling under the entire time and then has a couple of explosive moments. I can't explain it. There's a quality to this actress that is so, it's like Blanchett level and, Blanchett level. I hate when people say Kate Blanchett wrong. In terms of the austerity she brings, the power she brings, and yet also I'm watching her think. I'm trying to figure her out. Mm. It's not just that she's compelling to watch, it's that she's compelling to try to figure out.
Yes.
And she has a movie called Fatherland coming out. There's actually rumors she might get nominated for multiple Oscars this year, but Fatherland is the main movie directed by Paul Polakowski, who did this movie Cold War a couple years ago. This movie also takes place in the Cold War. This woman is just so fucking advanced, and I am, at the end of the day, I'm here for the artists.
Yes.
I want to see the artists work, and so I hope she fucking nails it again. She was also in The Zone of Interest a couple years ago. It's probably my favorite movie of the 2020s. So I'm excited about those two women.
Okay, so I got to get into this thing.
Yeah.
And
because I feel like you're kind of ambivalent about Oscars.
You know, it's not... It's never what it is. You know what it is? It's I hate when something feels like they want to exclude, like it just feels almost like they want to exclude the masses from it. And that it's just like this thing that only a few people can be a part of. And that turns me off.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, and yeah. I've also had to be forcibly watched for years and years and years, had to forcibly watch every single screener.
Yeah.
So I think I rebelled a little bit. So I want to get back into it for the art of it. And I think there was just the principle of it kind of kept me away because I was just kind of like, I just started to feel like LA was, the real world was getting a little crazy and LA was still kind of staying in this bubble that I didn't appreciate.
I also feel like maybe in the job you had too, it's like you don't really have a space to be honest about the movies.
1,000%. And I think that's really what it was. It's like when I worked at E!, we got all these notes about, don't say this thing, don't offend this person. So I think in a space where I can be honest about my opinion, because I'm so opinionated, it almost felt, you know, it felt stifling to like really feel something and not be able to express how I felt about that art. It kind of made me put it on a shelf a little bit. And I think this will force me to be able to watch this objectively instead of being like, well, I have to watch this, but I can't even be honest about how I feel about the actress.
No, I think when I watch E! Red Carpet people, and by the way, they never get the credit they deserve for standing out there for hours and hours talking to people. It's like they have to come up with some version of positivity about everything. And like, I've taken an improv class. That is hard.
Yeah, it is. And I think like, you know, as we know, I have my feelings about hosting and like how they're just throwing like the random TikToker on the stage.
And they land on their face every time.
Yeah. And I think there's going to just, I think that's how the world is going to be. That's going to be every carpet. But I do think like if we're talking about the art and you want people to really be objective and take this seriously and get differing opinions, then it can't just be a kiss ass fest.
Like,
you know, and
there's got to be, honestly, we have not yet innovated the way to do that. That is somewhere between the diplomacy of E! And the like, cruelty of Joan Rivers.
Yes, 1,000%. There's got to be a middle ground to have smart conversations.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I think I started to love doing like sit down interviews more, because then I can really talk to you about your craft and how you created this and where did this come from and like talk about scenes that I love or hated, right? Because just because I don't love a scene or a choice doesn't mean I didn't love the film, but you can't even have those like nuanced conversations in a 2-second red carpet. I got to talk to you about your look, praise the film, not piss anybody off, not make your publicist mad so we can't talk to the next person.
Right.
There's so many politics. Totally. On a red carpet that make it hard to, I think it actually makes it hard for you to love the film. So I think when I stepped away from doing red carpets, I just kind of was anti-award season because I knew like the background of it all.
And also, and how it's all about like making sure you don't make the minorest infraction that like, you know, sets a publicist on a warpath against
you. And sometimes if you just, you know, and I tend to joke. So it's like, if you can't even, it just got so serious and real life got so real that I just started to feel like, oh, this is a very unserious industry.
Totally
makes
sense.
I think the filmmakers and the actors got caught up in the funnel of that. Cause I don't even think if you would ask these actors, I don't think they would care about this opinion.
Yeah.
It's really like the setup of the publicist, the studio. Those are who are really making those decisions to tell the red carpet host what they can and can't say. I don't think there's an actor who wouldn't be into having an honest conversation about their character's choices.
Completely. Oh my God, the amount of times you get an email being like, this actor is like absolutely refusing to do this. And then it turns out later they weren't even made aware
1,000%.
Of the situation.
And happens with me on a smaller scale where somebody's like, I emailed your person and they didn't say anything back and it got put in junk and it wasn't a thing, but things can kind of blow up and look like it's you making the decision when it's other people. So that I think I'm actually excited to hear these opinions from you and watch these with a new lens and kind of taking that protective thing off. Like, I often find that I work in survival mode sometimes when I am in front of the camera, because you're kind of, as a Black host, you're one of the few. So you want to just kind of like make sure you're not making waves, because people can kind of read into what you're saying differently. Or if I have a strong opinion next to a white co-host, it can be seen as like argumentative or whatever. So I'm excited to be in a space where I can be free to just like have these opinions, think about things in a way and ask questions that's not going to necessarily be pushed back against. That's exciting.
And also, by the way, you can argue with me, and also you can hit me. It's okay. Well, you know, I'm so strong.
You know, a girl likes a tussle.
Okay. Yes. Like, this should be called the tussle.
Tussle. I love it. We'll have a segment on the tussle.
Do the tussle.
I like it. When we both have like visceral opinions about something, it's called the tussle.
Okay.
I love
dang.
It.
Something else. No, this is something I'm not particularly into, but I think I have to, based on where the industry is and how this particular fan army makes the cinema relevant, I am going to be seeing more horror in theaters.
You are?
Because I don't crave horror. It's
okay,
not my thing.
I do. I
like,
love it.
But that's just it. Like, I think I fear that bad horror will just be exploitative or boring or like garish. And so I sort of just am likely to skip a lot of these experiences in the theater. But my God, these girls are keeping the theaters alive.
Yes.
I mean, like, excuse me, like the obsession, like what has happened with that movie is so, I guess on the one hand, you could predict it because there's always some horror movie that blows up every year now. But at the same time, it's still like the way people are talking about that movie even now, it's been months. How many times are we talking about a movie for more than a month?
I just saw a meme about it today.
Yeah.
Where people were, I mean, it's heavily still being talked about and rotated. And I agree with you. Like I've always been a horror like fan, and it can be from like, you know, an art house type of horror to like the dumbest. Like I am a horror fan. Like I love it, but I like a slasher. I'm not really like a paranormal horror person.
I prefer slasher. Like I love Scream.
Yes.
That I understand.
Yeah, I do love that.
I think what I also love about that movie is just as much attention is paid to them making them real people, mm-hmm. as opposed to just pawns following what they have to do to get the horror movie.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yeah, no, but I agree with you. My like, you know, when you people say, well, I watch The Office like as my comfort show, like my comfort shows are pretty like it's like The Walking Dead.
Oh,
my comfort show.
That's funny. My friend Sunny at home. I don't know if she still does. She used to watch Halloween every night before bed. Every night. The 78 watched, Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis.
I'm telling you, I watched all of the Scream. I watched like four Scream movies a couple of weeks ago. I think I got like microneedling. I couldn't leave the house. And I was like, I'm going to have a Scream rewatch and watch that by myself. It was just in there watching and like acting like I'd seen it for the first time. So I don't know. But, you know, also, I think it's a way for some of us to get out a little aggression without actually having to be aggressive.
I think that must be a part of it.
Yeah, I think it is. Because why am I watching Walking Dead at 1 in the morning?
No. Which did you have any new observations about Scream after you watched it?
It's so nostalgic for me. Like, I really love Neve Campbell,
me
by the
too.
Way. I love her.
I love her, too. Her resting energy is just so right.
Yes. Yeah. I love Courtney Cox because I think, like, she's always playing kind of a good girl. So I like that she's bitchy and like a little quirky in the movies.
Yeah.
I love David Arquette. Like there's not a lot to hate. Like,
the casting is magnificent.
It's so good. But the first one was so incredible. It's hard to, it's such a fun rewatch.
Also, the thing about the first one that they never replicated is the like, they're immediately telling you the main suspects who end up being the murderers.
Yes.
But the way you kind of go off and on them, and yet you were like, I'm an idiot. I should have known it was them the whole time. That feeling is so exciting.
And, you know, for the honestly, I think all the ones after one are just, you know, it's campy on purpose. You know, like we know it's campy, but I just think it's fun that they try to throw in random twists of like, this was the stepbrother. Like, okay, like y'all are. But let me tell you something. Scream 20 come out. I'm watching it. I'm front row and center.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, I love that. The, you know, it never, I Know What You Did Last Summer obviously never did as well as Scream. But like, I am just such a fan of like campy horror. And like, I do love a bad film. Like, this is what I want to get you on.
I'm not that person.
Yes, you're not.
Yeah.
I want you to watch something like, okay, like I want to put you on to like, do you know who Harlan Coben is?
No.
So he's an author who writes like, he is basically the white Tyler Perry.
Okay.
So there's a movie that's the
number
one.
Which we desperately need.
We desperately, the white Tyler Perry. There's the number one streaming movie in the world right now is called I Will Find You.
Okay.
It's from his novel. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, but it's, you know, it's like 25-minute episodes. Like you can get through them, but it's fun. It's like a murder mystery, whodunit, you know. But there are lines, and there are like, you will not get away with this. But I don't know that to me, I don't watch them thinking like this is a drama that really is going to make it's funny.
Yeah.
Like I kind of watch it as a comedy.
But also, by the way, I'm always down for more whodunits. Like, yes. That really, like when we even got that Shonda Rhimes show, The Residence, I'm like, there should be more things like this.
Now that was, I can't believe, and if we're talking about cancellations, like I can't believe that got canceled.
Yeah. Though I have to say, Uzo, I feel like her last five roles have been like, are we sure? Did we give her in treatment, really?
If we're talking about The Resident, though, can we talk really quickly about the bird stuff? Like, I just, yeah. I never understood why that was in there.
Also, right, that was like half her personality,
the bird
right?
watching? Yeah. Yeah. What was the, what?
Hello? It was sort of like the Sherlock Holmes, like, violin playing or something.
Yeah.
They wanted something like that.
Why do we need this? Maybe that was part of cancellation, because I really did check out with the bird stuff.
Right. And also, it's just like, oh, and Kylie Minogue's in every seventh scene? Okay.
It was cute enough for a set. Listen.
Yeah.
What's the show? Virgin River? Y'all can renew Virgin River. And Sweet Magnolias. You can make another season of The Resident.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Some stuff I do feel like is like,
I wonder if it was secretly extremely expensive.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's acting like they don't have a budget these days. We know y'all got money.
Yeah. No, okay. Shonda's involved and she's on Netflix. Right. Please. Yeah. It's Bridgerton or bust.
Listen.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I've never seen an episode of.
I've seen a little bit of it. I mean, it's amusing. You know?
Yeah.
But also forgettable. It's like in one ear, out the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't get into it. I've tried three times.
Yeah.
So are you an Apple TV watcher?
I actually really enjoy the show Platonic.
Okay.
With Seth Rogen and, of course, our goddess, Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you don't watch anything else mainly on Apple TV?
No, that was Murderbot, right? I tried that. Yeah.
You didn't get into Murderbot?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just thought that was just okay. But I think I've watched almost every, except for Platonic, I think I've watched every, for some reason, like I do watch Seth Rogen in the studio, but I haven't, sometimes I pause when I see him and stuff, and I don't know why.
Interesting. I was just thinking he's my favorite straight man at the moment.
Really?
Because he can always dial into any taste.
And I like him, too.
You know?
So we'll talk more about this, but I think there's some Apple TV dramas that I actually think you would really love that are on right now. You're not watching your Friends and Neighbors.
No, I really should.
Yeah, I think you'd actually really love that.
Yeah.
And I love John Hamm.
Yeah, I have loved John Hamm.
Okay.
I'm trying to feel like, I feel like he upset me at some point. Why? Baby Driver? I forget where he upset me. Yeah.
You don't watch The Morning Show?
No, I feel like my brain would explode.
Okay, so I purposely didn't watch The Morning Show for the first two seasons because I thought the same thing. And I think I ran out of stuff to watch and obsessed.
Yeah, oh, really?
Obsessed. I think you would actually love it.
I think I did watch the first season.
Okay.
Because that's the only time Steve Carell was on.
Yeah, he was only in the first season.
Yeah, right.
But the second season really took off. I mean, the first season I really loved too, but I watched them both because I waited. So I watched one and two, and two caught me. It jumps the shark a little, but it's really good. And the third season is great too. So I kind of want to get you on
that. Speaking of that, by the way, Steve Carell only being in season one, I am enjoying season two of The Four Seasons right
yes,
now.
Yes, which again, he's only in season one. I mean, he's in season two.
Yeah, right.
In flashbacks.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I have a disease where I need more Tina Fey.
Okay.
And I believe I should be friends with her because I know her humor is so mean in person.
I
want to hear that.
I think you would be great friends with her and Colman Domingo.
Yeah. Oh, he was at a party once that I was at, and I was too nervous to say hi.
Yeah, same. I've been to several functions with him, and I'm always a little like, I hate to bug people.
Yeah.
I just feel like, again,
no, it's not the right vibe.
I just, you know, listen, I think people will like you going up to them, and like, no, everybody appreciates that, but like, I always feel like if my guard is down, we're drinking, like, you don't want to be bothered about like my opinion on your last film.
No, right. No, and also, by the way, like, are you ever thinking about the last movie you made? It's
right.
like, why is this a conversation
like
I'm trying to start?
When someone comes up to you and asks you what like celebrity is your favorite or what's your best interview, you blank out. You're like, I don't remember.
No, right. Except me. I go Cate Blanchett, House Time. Done. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I think we covered all of pop culture. Sorry, Nina. We're done with the podcast.
Listen, we learned a little bit about each other.
Yes.
We both have a little homework.
Yes,
I'm
quite.
Excited. I want to hear more about you on dating apps.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yes. We'll see what I pull off. We'll see what I pull off. LA is so hard.
I just
when
got
I'm
on
in New York, I date all the time.
I just got back on the apps.
Yeah.
For the first time.
I feel so bad for straight women in LA.
Oh, you should.
The clubs you guys have to go to.
Oh, please,
Excuse me, the jeans they wear,
oh,
those
my gosh.
Men.
Baby, you better meet me in Gelson's. Ain't nobody going to a club.
Dang. Okay.
I'm meet you next to the rotisserie chicken.
Oh, yeah. I'll be buying the $9 wheat thins.
Exactly. Okay.
That's the work
meet
I do.
Meet me in
Gelson's.
The deli, baby. That's the new hotspot for singles.
Well, thank you all for listening. We'll be back with a new episode with our co-host.
Yes.
Nina Parker.
I'm so happy to be here. If you love me, you know, message me. If you don't, stay where you at.
Dang. Right. You're usually right. You're right. We'll see you back next week. Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Rustin, Kelsey Gante, Kendra James, Lindsay Gomez, and me, Louis Vertel. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, Mia Kalman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.